Hello to all of my horror homies. Welcome or welcome back. My name is Liz, and I love to talk about all things spooky, especially your favorite horror movies. Without further ado, let's talk about some spooks. In my last episode, I discussed the confusing and cryptic film Malignant, which left us more confused than just about anything else. Today, we're going to talk about The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It, the third in the Conjuring series. I got so excited talking about James Wan's unique directing style in Malignant, I decided to choose another more recent film he had a hand in. He actually didn't direct The Conjuring 3. He was a producer, but you can still see his influence when the lights get low and the scares begin to roll in. So I figured I'd do a mini James Wan marathon because I enjoy discussing his movies so much. The Conjuring 3 follows Ed and Lorraine Warren on one of the most interesting cases of their actual careers. The cops stumble upon a bloodied and dazed young man walking down the road with no memory of what happened. Accused of murder, the suspect claims demonic possession as his defense, forcing the Warrens into a supernatural inquiry. Now, as most of you probably know, Ed and Lorraine Warren were real people. However, a judge ultimately disregarded this theory and sentenced Johnson to prison, where he served 5 years before being released. Then I guess he just was fine and wasn't possessed anymore. Depending on your stance on psychics, the Warrens' involvement was minimal and ultimately harmless in this case. There isn't much documentation out there to prove just how much they had to do with this one. They simply offered their personal rationale to the theory of the possession. I would love to hear your guys' opinion on this specifically. Hearing different views on the world of psychics is fascinating to me. Purely for informational purposes, I want to talk about the actual trial for a moment. Obviously, the movie is grossly exaggerated because Hollywood. The trial of Arnie Cheyenne Johnson, also known as the Devil Made Me Do It trial, it was actually known by that before the movie, probably where the movie got its namesake, is the first case in the United States in which the defense sought to prove innocence based upon the defendant's claim of demonic possession. Total denial of personal responsibility for the crime. According to testimony by the Glatzel family, 11-year-old David Glatzel allegedly played host to a demon. After witnessing a number of increasingly ominous occurrences involving David, the family, exhausted and terrified, decided to enlist the aid of Ed and Lorraine Warren in a last-ditch effort for help. The Glatzel family, along with the Warrens, then proceeded to have multiple priests petition the church to have a formal exorcism performed on David. The process continued for several days, concluding when, according to those present, the demon fled the child's body and took up residence in Arnie. These events were documented by Gerald Brittle, who was present. Several months later, Arnie killed his landlord during a party. His defense lawyer argued in court he was possessed, but the judge ruled such a defense could never be proven and was therefore infeasible in a court of law. Arnie was subsequently convicted, though he only served 5 of a 10 to 20 year sentence. This was the first unlawful killing in the history of Brookfield, Connecticut. So that's what went down in 1981. What happened in 2021 in Movieland was much more dramatic. The movie is very well put together. While I don't find this addition to the franchise that frightening, I very much enjoy watching the Warrens and their ominous adventure. It's not quite The Conjuring or The Conjuring 2, but this movie proves there is still a lot to give in this franchise. Demonologists Ed and Lorraine Warren document the exorcism of 8-year-old David Glatzel. The whole family is there, including his sister Debbie and her boyfriend Arnie. During the exorcism, David goes full yogi master and his head turns completely backwards. History will tell us that's a pretty standard exorcism move. Arnie tells the demon to enter him instead of David, and Ed witnesses the demon transport to Arnie while Ed suffers a heart attack from the commotion and is taken to the hospital. There's a scene in which the 8-year-old David is convinced someone or something bad is trying to get into his bedroom, so he goes to hide in the shower and draws the shower curtain. Instead of scary or suspenseful music, there is just total silence, and as he sits in the tub, he looks upward and a huge, long, slender-fingered hand pulls away from the shower rod just as the camera reveals it. It's probably the creepiest part of the whole movie, and it's like a signature James Wan movie monster, if you ask me. It's probably the key part of the movie for me. A month passes, and Ed wakes up in the hospital, revealing to Lorraine that he witnessed the demon enter Arnie's body. She calls to send the police to the Glatzel household, warning them that a tragedy will occur there. Sure enough, after a month of feeling unwell, Arnie starts seeing demonic figures and murders his landlord, Bruno, after seeing him threaten Debbie. With the support of the Warrens, they begin investigating into David's original possession. They discover a satanic curse was passed through a witch's totem placed under their home. The Warrens meet with Kastner, a former priest who dealt with a cult called the Disciples of the Ram. That's a pretty badass name. He tells them that an occultist had to have intentionally left the totem, resulting in the creation of the curse that possessed David. They travel to Massachusetts to investigate another death. Detectives had found a totem at the home of a friend of the victim. Lorraine initiates a vision to recreate the murder and discovers the murderer was possessed before killing the victim and plummeting off a cliff herself. This allows them to recover the body. Lorraine touches the corpse to reveal the location of the occultist. They begin to assume the occultist is operating in the area. Lorraine returns to Kastner for help, and he reveals he had a daughter, Isla. As Kastner researched the occultist, Isla grew fascinated by it. I have a really hard time with that name, Isla. Isla grew fascinated by it. He tells Lorraine Isla's altar must be in the tunnels underneath the house. Isla suddenly emerges and finds out her father was helping them and kills him instantly. Ed soon arrives and finds his way into the tunnels through a locked drain hole with a sledgehammer. He is briefly bewitched by Isla and attempts to kill Lorraine. But there is a cringy segment. I don't know why they suddenly decided to add a love story to this movie, but there's a cringy segment where Lorraine forces him to recall the first time they fell in love, so he snaps out of the little curse that Isla put on him. So I'm just gonna say he comes to his senses and uses the sledgehammer to destroy the altar, saving himself, Lorraine, and Arnie. Isla is quickly killed by the demon she summoned because she failed to complete the curse. That's the quickest summary I can give for the movie, just because we kind of already discussed the movie with talking about the trial, because they're retelling the trial in a very, very dramatic retelling. While the movie is not horrifying, it is enjoyable. I give it 7 out of 10 witches totems. It's obvious they tried to do something different and not make a shot-for-shot remake carbon copy of the same movie yet again. At the very least, it's a fun watch. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Be sure to follow me on Instagram and Twitter. @horror_homies. Pass this podcast along to your friends if you enjoyed it. Thank you guys so much for the support. Stay safe out there.